In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today is actually the first podcast that we're actually recording in the new year, 2020.
Yeah. Is it technically the first 2020 podcast? The other one came out.
That's why I said it's the first one. It's the first one we're recording.
Yes.
In 2020. It'll be the second one that comes out of the year.
Yeah.
And boy, it's been an interesting 2020 so far.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on.
There has been. I remember last week I had said something about I was going to try to tell people what was going on for me in the new year.
Okay.
But we didn't get an opportunity because, of course, we started talking about Star Wars. And when I'm talking about Star Wars, all things go away.
All of the things happen.
So I will now talk about what's going on with me in the new year. You know about this, obviously.
Yes.
I just started going to school. I'm going to a technical school.
Back to school.
Back to school. I'm an almost 40-year-old man going back to school. It is both amusing and terrifying to be surrounded by. It's a vocational program, so they're not. There's a few people that are like 19 and 20. Most of them are in their like kind of late 20s.
Yeah.
But still, I'm the old man who doesn't understand technology, and you know they're all watching. They're all watching things on their phones, listening to their phones for music. Because I'm guessing they have unlimited data plans, because there's no Wi-Fi there at the school. So it's not the Wi-Fi they're using.
Yep.
So it's their unlimited data plans. I am on a phone that does not have unlimited data plan. So I'm pulling out my iPod to listen to. Hey, man, it's better than...
iPods are reliable, damn it. They are. They do one job.
I got one of those 160 gig ones, too.
Is that the one that operates like an iPhone? Like it's got the glass screen on it one of the ones with the buttons?
One with the buttons and the dial thing on the front.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a sturdy damn thing.
Yeah.
And
I like those. It,
the battery is a little wonky because it's old. But it still works. It still does what I need it to. It's what I listen to music in the car with.
Fantastic.
But pulling that out, I get a couple of side eye glances like, seriously? That kind of technology, and I'm like, well, it's better than a CD player and a whole book of CDs like I used to
you
carry
should
around
have
with me.
Done that. You should have brought in a CD player and a ton of CDs.
That would be hilarious, just to walk in with my gigantic CD binder, one of those, like, you know, 3-4 inch thick 12 by 12 because it fits 4 CDs on each page, and just be plunk it down and flip through the pages as loud as humanly possible
during a test.
The tests are on computers, so it's not necessarily that. But no, there's supposed to be a quiet area table for studying kind of outside the computer lab area.
Cool.
It's never quiet, by the way.
Of course not.
But that would have been the place just to plunk it down and be flipping through things and just have all these young people looking at me like, what is old man doing? What are those things? Are those what they call records? No, kids. No.
Nope.
It does.
Are those what they call records?
I am getting a little bit of that. Actually,
did you hear about, speaking of records, you hear about like there's a new trend in Japan where they're coming out with 8-inch singles? It's 8-inch vinyl records.
Really?
And not just like the full-size 33 RPM. They're like little 8-inch. They're not 7-inch because those are the old 7-inch singles. No, these are vinyl records.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Me neither, man.
I mean, that's a debate that definitely has been a raging debate lately, the whole vinyl versus like either the CDs or any kind of of digital medium, and the fact that, you know, I don't agree that people try to say vinyl sounds better. Vinyl has its own unique sound to it.
It does.
It has a what's the word I want to use to describe it? It has like a muddy quality, but in a good way. It's got an environmental quality
to it.
That would be
warmth.
Warmth. Thank you.
Yeah, that's called warmth.
Thank you, music person.
Yes. You know what's really funny about that? I'm about to ruin vinyl for everybody.
Go ahead.
Okay. So here's the thing. So vinyl is an extremely sensitive medium to carry, right? It can be warped and all that kind of stuff. Well, the thing about vinyl is that the way that you actually make vinyl is you press it after you create a lathe. Well, the problem is that when you create a lathe, which is the original disc that they then make the mold and press the vinyls that way, when you make and cut vinyl, or when you cut a record on actual vinyl, You have to put in an EQ curve on that vinyl that then gets reestablished when you play the vinyl through a preamp. So going off on my tech thing, this I thought was great because everybody talks about how warm and how smooth and silky vinyl sounds in comparison to CDs and how they sound harsh and digital and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff, right? Okay. So check this out. When you're punching the record, when you're actually making the grooves the record, there is an equalization curve, an EQ curve that has to be applied to the needle because low end sounds, low frequencies, bass is extremely violent in comparison to high end.
Okay, yeah.
The RIAA curve stands for the Recording Industry Association of America. Okay? Yeah. These are the guys that established you need to use this EQ curve when you cut vinyl. Literally cuts all of the low end out of the vinyl. And if you've ever actually taken a record player and hooked it up to a straight input on a stereo, it sounds really thin and really muddy, and it really sounds like this.
Yeah.
It sounds really nasty and terrible.
Just so people understand what I'm seeing to have achieved that slight difference in his voice sound, Mike was kind of covering his mouth.
It's kind of covering my mouth and making it a little tinny sounding. Yeah. Hopefully that does that exactly.
I heard it
so,
at least.
So the reason why they do it is because the low end that people assume is in vinyl records isn't even there. It's not there. What they do is they run it through a preamp, and the preamp introduces the RIAA curve, which is literally a chop in highs, like 20 dB, which is a quarter volume, and an increase in lows, which is a 20 dB boost. So you literally would take the EQ curve, which is flat, and you would do this with it and turn it into a 45-degree angle. Practically,
so basically what you're saying is this organic sound that people feel that they're getting from vinyl is actually manufactured with the EQ later.
It's manufactured with the EQ. The warmth of a record is fake. It is added in post in the preamp that is hooked to the record player.
Wow.
That's what it is. It's chopped up and boosted, and that's the grade between a good preamp and a bad one. It's not how much it has, but it's how cleanly it boosts that. Those frequencies so that you get the bass that everybody thinks is in vinyl. It's in the preamp. It's not in the record.
Wow.
Isn't that hilarious?
I thought
that was always funny.
I'm glad I've never sunk a lot of money into vinyl. But
now, don't get me wrong. I love how vinyl sounds. I've actually got a record player over here. It's nice, and I've hooked up some stuff, and I've actually converted it to MP3, and I think it sounds great. Or I've done wave archives of stuff that I've got.
But it's not the beautiful organic thing that everybody thinks it is.
It's not in the same grade as digital. Like I don't really truly feel like anybody's losing anything by getting a digital archive as opposed to a vinyl archive. Don't get me wrong.
Unless you're a packaging whore like we are.
Dude, yeah, that's the one thing you cannot. Yeah, I will say this. Vinyl record packaging
beautiful
is art in itself. Don't get me wrong, you can do stuff that's relatively similar with CDs and it's a nice little mini package and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. But
yeah,
dude,
I will admit there have been a few CDs
that
are
some of the best art
nice.
Ever is humongous, like big old gatefold stuff. One of my favorite records.
Is it a Zeppelin?
Physical Graffiti.
Yeah.
You ever seen it?
Which one is that? Describe it to me.
It's the one with the building face on it.
Okay.
It's the face of the building on it. You open it up and the face of the building has got little windows cut in it. Yeah. And then you open from the outside of the building, seeing into the inside of the building, which is the record sleeve.
Okay.
So you pull the record sleeve out, it's the inside of the building, but when you pop it back in, it's... Yeah. Dude, there's also like... there was the Stones record that they did that was done by Andy Warhol.
Oh, okay.
That was the zipper. The zipper banana one. Yeah. That's just cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
You don't get that presentation with a CD.
Sometimes you do. I can think of a couple of CDs that had some... pretty interesting presentation.
Tool kicks ass at album art, even
Tool,
in a CD
Tool
format.
Is,
that's
Tool
for sure.
Very good. The ones that had the lenticular cover. What was it?
Anima?
Anima, yeah. The lenticular cover on that was awesome.
Oh, yeah. And then the book itself was lenticular, too, so you have to take it, open it up and stick it in the sleeve, and you get moving pictures. Yeah, that's really cool.
I remember as a teenager, there was one quite disturbing lenticular sleeve piece in that.
I remember that one.
Yeah. We're not going to tell you what it is. Research it. Research and then listen to the album. It's actually
go buy the record, and you'll find out. Just don't get it from Walmart because it's all blacked out and censored.
Yeah, and you definitely need to not have a censored version of that.
Yep, nope.
Buy.
Head to a real record store. Buy. Danny. Yep.
Go buy.
Buy.
That effing record. Sorry, a little reference to a song in there, actually.
All right.
But
please continue after I went off on my tangent.
I was also going to say that that there was at least one Metallica album that had a very interesting CD cover art situation.
Oh, yeah, well, two of them, weren't there?
What were you thinking? I'm not thinking of Load and Reload, because that was the same even in the that was just a picture that was the same no matter how you got the album. If you got it on CD, if you got it on vinyl, if you got it on cassette tape.
Do you think it would, or are you talking the Black Album then?
No, I'm talking Death Magnetic.
That's really good artwork. Well, okay, so they have the CD version, the special edition, yeah. Has the opening folds and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's the multi-layered book and all that. That's really cool, too.
It is, although I do have issues with it. It's supposed to resemble a coffin, or at least it's not a coffin, but a coffin-shaped hole dug into the ground.
Right.
And sadly,
with multiple layers to it.
Sadly, it does have a tendency, depending on how you look at it, to resemble parts of anatomy. Which is...
James is saying that the coffin looks like a vagina.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, admittedly, that may just be me and my skewed vision of the world, and I'm free to admit to that, but yes, that's what it reminded me of when I saw it.
After you introduced it to me, I was like, oh yeah, huh.
It's one of those things that, like, once you're told, you can't help
but
see it.
No, you can't unsee it once it's there. Yeah. Like, it's...
It's like when somebody points out that a building looks like two of the windows are eyes, and like something to do with what's on the front door looks like a mouth, and suddenly the building looks like a face to you. You can't look
otherwise. I will put my own graphic design on blast here. I came up with a logo for my band. My band is called Digital Havoc. I have not presented the logo yet, but I will probably do it soon.
Awesome.
And it is.
By the way, anybody that has not listened to Digital Havoc yet, go listen to Digital Havoc.
Aw, thanks.
Very good.
So I created a logo, and I'm not sure if I shared it with you.
I have not seen this logo. I need to see it now.
So now. It is a...
Go get it now. Sorry, go on.
After the podcast. So it is the... I call it Binaris. And... The reason why is a combination of two different symbols.
Yeah.
So, are you familiar with the Greek symbol, the five-fingered hand of Eris?
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with what it represents?
Not entirely.
Do you know the story of Eris and the story of Eris and its involvement with Helen of Troy? Because it has to do with it's a Greek god story.
You're talking about Ares, the god of war, right?
No, Eris.
It's not Eris.
Eris. Who, okay, Eris, the Greek goddess Eris.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not entirely. This is I feel awful because I'm normally really good on my Greek stuff.
Okay, so basically the Greek goddess Eris.
Okay.
You're familiar with the story of the apple?
Yes.
In the wedding?
Wait.
Okay.
Different apple.
So the story goes there was a wedding. I'm really vague on this. It's been a while, but there was a wedding that was held there was a wedding held with like a prince or something like that, and it had involvement in the Greek gods. And basically, during the reception, the goddess Eris shows up, pissed off because she was uninvited. So the
story
of the apple. So basically,
the apple of discord.
The apple of discord. She shows up at the reception to a wedding she wasn't invited to, brings an apple that says. I believe it says for the fairest or for the most beautiful. For the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. She then throws it into the crowd, similar to the bouquet of flowers that is tossed into the bridesmaids. All of these women go nuts trying to get this apple.
These women, by the way, being Hera. Hera, the chief goddess. Athena, goddess of war. And Aphrodite, the goddess of love.
I believe it
and
was...
beauty.
If I remember correctly, I think it was Aphrodite who ends up bargaining for the apple. Because all of the women start fighting, and then Zeus says, well, here's the deal. You guys are all fighting over this. Here's how we're going to solve this. Hey, I can't remember his name, but he is he's the groom. He's like, this is your wedding. Who do you say is the fairest out of all of these bridesmaids? And I believe it was Aphrodite that offers Helen of Sparta to this.
Helen of Troy. Actually, I'm reading it right now.
I'm
reading it right now, and this is It's been a. It must have been a long.
It's been
time
a while. I'm so recalling it from memory, and it's really,
been a
really,
long time since I've read the Iliad. So I don't. I didn't remember this part of it, but yeah, what happens is Zeus sends the goddesses to Paris, who judged that Aphrodite, as the fairest, should receive the apple. In exchange, Aphrodite made Helen the most beautiful of all women and wife of Menelaus. Menelaus being a Greek. Fall in love with Paris, who took her to Troy. So,
Helen became two stories. Yeah. It's basically a story that it's the mythology behind the Trojan War.
Yeah.
But the idea is the five-fingered hand of Eris is it's a straight line down the middle, and then two curved lines that go to the outside. I'm tracing this to him.
Okay. This is I do know this symbol.
So it's a six. So the five-fingered hand of Eris is meant to signify discord and chaos. It's not the arrows of chaos, which a lot of bands have adopted, and I was considering the chaos arrows. For a logo, but
The point is discord.
The point is discord, and then I took the binary symbols for 0 and 1 and put it on either side.
Okay.
I showed this to my band members, and I was like, guys, check this out. I called it the Binaris logo.
Yeah.
Okay? But my drummer looks at it, and he goes, it looks like boobs. Damn it!
I mean, I can see that. I'm looking at the logo right now.
Yeah, it's
not
the
your logo.
One you're looking at right there. It's very similar to the vertical one, the larger one, because that'll fit like very simply.
I'm looking at,
it into stuff and using it on the regular.
Yeah, that's I can see how that would look like boobs.
Yeah, that's exactly what he sees. He was like, aw. Whatever.
But
it's a nice simple logo.
But he's a genius.
He's a genius in that it looks like boobs?
Dude. Market that and put it in the center of a shirt.
That is true.
He's
it can
a genius.
Be put anywhere, man.
Put it in the center of a shirt, though.
Oh, yeah.
Dead center in the shirt, big enough.
Oh, yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah. Boobs.
Because, I mean...
It's a boobs logo.
Actually, funny enough, this leads into one of the other things I was going to... One of the few things I normally try not to surprise you when we do the podcast, because I know you hate surprises on the podcast. But I did want to bring up a little bit of something that I watched last night. I watched a bunch of things this weekend. I watched football this weekend, which I told you we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But the boobs things reminds me of I watched the Golden Globes last night.
Yeah,
start of award season. Which the only reason I watched the Golden Globes was Ricky Gervais was hosting again.
I saw that opening monologue.
The opening monologue was great. It was so beautiful.
He was brutal.
He was, but that's
even to
like
the point
all
where
he's
just like, oh, this is the last time. I can't do this. Like even he was just like, oh, this is way beyond.
Part of that is his humor. That's the way he does.
He presents it by going, "Oh God, this is ridiculous."
If you watch any of his, if you watch his specials, that's how he kind of presents his humor anyway.
Yeah,
that's one of the things I love about him. He is brutal and raw and amazing. For actually one of your coworker friends and I think an occasional listener to the podcast, he did have an Epstein joke in there. I just want to say.
Yeah.
There was an Epstein joke in there, so that was kind of a funny acknowledgement moment. There was also a few others that were just what was fun is when the crowd responded and he would be like, "Well, it's your guys' fault. You guys are the ones that did this stuff. I'm just making jokes about what you guys did." That was kind of funny. But but in the Golden Globes, apparently this was the year of the boobs. Like normally dresses for award shows do a little bit of cleavage showing. But damn,
I remember seeing display.
Damn,
I remembered like so we're watching
like Selma Hayek. Damn,
I didn't see Selma Hayek. I did see Charlize Theron though, and even my wife was just like, so she's wearing a green like almost like a toga type outfit, right? So it's a green dress and it's got the tie in the middle around the waist, and it's a long flowing dress. It's gorgeous, except. It looks like she forgot to put the other strap of the dress on the other hand, on the other shoulder, and it literally just cuts down past, and you just got, like, one boob and a bra, right?
Okay.
And then the other one's completely covered, and it looks so weird.
Well, I mean, Kerry Washington came out wearing a, I think she was wearing pants and a jacket. and no shirt on underneath. And literally the only thing holding her boobs in were the sides of the jacket, like the suit jacket.
So she probably pulled like a J-Lo pasties thing, right?
So No. The jacket's covering the boobs.
Right.
But like, you know, you see stuff where there's like side boob when the girl's got overly large armholes on the shirt and you can see some side boob. This was, I guess, inside boob. It's like you saw the side of her boob from the inside and then just the center of her chest and stomach completely opened up. And then Phoebe Waller-Bridge, a British comedian who was in she does the TV show Fleabag. She also was wearing nothing but a jacket and nothing underneath. Well, pants and then the jacket.
Why?
Because people want to look at boobs.
I guess. I mean, it draws a lot of attention.
I was paying attention. I was paying almost a little bit more attention to Renee Zellweger because she had she was wearing a dress that the slit on the skirt was literally all the way up to her waist. And as she was walking up the steps, there was almost some panty shots.
Good Lord, man.
Yeah. It's like, but this was the,
a little extreme. Come on, man.
This was definitely the Golden Globes of the boobs, in my opinion. although it was very, very nice for me.
It's so weird. Like,
good.
I mean, I don't understand that. Like, personally, this is an award show. It's not like,
yeah, but it's the Golden Globes. It's the award show, but it's also the award show where they get to drink. So
the boobs come out?
How many times...
Is this Girls Gone Wild or a freaking award ceremony?
Mike, how many times have you seen the boobs come out when people are drinking? It for a sec.
No, I understand that, but do the boobs come out on television, bro?
I mean, why not? I'm just saying.
Dude.
I'm just saying.
Everybody lost their crap on Janet Jackson when that happened during a Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure she was drinking.
Probably not, but I remember that. I was actually watching that halftime show. Again, interestingly enough, I'm glad that happened, by the way. That's one of the biggest revolutions in modern technology. That
what,
happened.
The manhandling of the FCC?
No. The fact that incident of the Janet Jackson boob is what started YouTube. Is what had the guy who created YouTube create YouTube.
Right, right. He wanted to see Janet Jackson's boob at any point in time that he wanted to.
Exactly.
No. It's not what started Pornhub. No.
No, YouTube.
It's what started YouTube.
Pornhub.
Again, I can't verify that information. I do not know.
The Pornhub part or the YouTube part?
No, the YouTube part.
No, that's... If you want, I can get you documentation for that.
I'm going to have to see that.
I will.
I don't believe it until I see documentation.
Although now that I'm thinking about it, the T-shirt is.
Is it on their Wikipedia page?
dude, I will find out. I will find out after the break. While we take the break, I will find out and I will be able to update that after the break. But I did want to make a couple more Golden Globe comments. One, it was beautiful for me to see Martin Scorsese and his film The Irishman basically snubbed at the Golden Globes, and I hope it continues to get snubbed.
Why? Have you even watched it?
No, but it's just my rage hate for Scorsese right now.
Well, it sucks because everything I've seen from it is fantastic.
It's not my type of movie though. It's a gangster movie.
Oh, okay.
It's not my type of thing.
I'm down with seeing those. Like, yeah. I can watch them for the sake of entertainment. To me,
they're not entertaining.
It doesn't matter.
To me, they're not entertaining, and that's the problem.
I can understand that.
But that's, you know, that's...
I find them entertaining, and you do not. That's, difference of opinion, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, how much of it did you watch? A lot of it or the whole thing or what?
No, I basically, I don't have like network TV really. And
so you were
our
just
antenna
watching
doesn't
clips.
Really work. Yeah, I was just watching YouTube clips as they go up. I watched the, Brad Pitt's acceptance speech.
Which
I
was
watched,
pretty good.
Charlize Theron's, because Hank's got the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award, I believe. Well-deserved, by the way. Holy smokes.
Yeah. I mean, that
and that was a fantastic acceptance speech. That was a fantastic introduction.
I missed that. I was actually out getting food at that moment in time, so I missed Hanks getting his award. Ellen got an award.
Yes.
For the Carol Burnett Award. She's technically the first real recipient of it. I mean, Carol Burnett got it last year.
Did you see Kate McKinnon her speech to Ellen?
Yeah, that was
was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
That
but
was
then,
great.
Well, actually what I liked about it was like it was funny, and then it got like super emotional.
Cool.
And then it got back to funny, but like for a minute or two there, for about a minute, yeah, it was like super emotional.
Yeah.
And Ellen's like about to break into tears and crap. It's like, haha, you didn't expect that, did you? You thought it was just going to be funny, and now it got all emotional on you. But Ellen's speech was good. More importantly, I just, to be the second person to win an award named after, or the first person really to win an award that was initially given to and named after Carol Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
And, for any young person that may be listening to this that doesn't know who Carol Burnett is, research the crap out of that.
Yeah.
Because she was so hilariously funny. The people that she worked with were funny. She was also groundbreaking with her TV show that she did, in that being a female comedian on TV at that time, being the front runner of the show, and it being a variety show, she just did some amazing, wonderful things and broke ground for so many other comedians. And then to have somebody like Ellen get it, lover or hater, you can't deny the fact that she has had she's left an indelible mark on American culture over the last 20 some odd years. She's done some things that just have changed the way the entertainment industry works, have changed the way some people's lives work in acceptance of what I could only say is a different viewpoint of the world. And for me, she's somebody that I think is very deserving of that type of an award.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's again, lover or hater, she's changed the world in various ways, and that should be acknowledged in some way, shape, or form. So, your boy Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor.
Yep.
Which,
I saw that.
Did you see his acceptance speech?
Yeah.
What the hell was going on with that dude? Dude was a hot mess.
I didn't think he was a hot mess.
Seriously, he's won awards before, and he's been cognizant and coherent when he's won awards before.
There was a lot that was going on his mind, but I didn't think that. I think, honestly, like, he was going over, like, that was some, like, that was a strange amount of nervousness, but he's also known to be a really shy type person. When he's off script,
but I've seen him win awards before. He won an award for his portrayal of Johnny Cash. He won multiple awards for that.
I gotta go back and see that.
And he was much. I mean, he's done many interviews. He was much more coherent. He just seemed really out of it with his acceptance speech. I mean, really out of it.
No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll have to see.
But anyway.
I mean, I saw the speech, but I thought it was all right. I think he was just like he just seemed like overly excited to me. I didn't think that he was like on anything.
No, I'm not saying he's on anything. I'm just saying maybe he's got some things he's working through right now.
Possibly.
Because, damn. Although, I mean, historically speaking, that's a role that does bad things to people.
So, true.
I mean,
he did lose like a ton of weight for that role. By the way,
although I do want to make the notation that he won the award for playing the role of Arthur Fleck.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't win the award for playing the role of Joker, like, for instance, Heath Ledger did when he won an Academy Award for playing Joker.
Just because the Joker didn't have a name for another person doesn't mean that he's not the character.
I'm just saying.
Oh, you and your, like, addiction to invalidating things.
You know, it's who I am. Anyway, we'll take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to do the research on the whole start of YouTube thing to get you the proper information.
Yeah, I got to see this.
We'll do a little bit of football talk, and I will actually explain why I mentioned the fact that I am going back to school, because I had an interesting conversation at school, and it's going to have us slightly tiptoe into one region we don't necessarily talk about here on the podcast normally.
Okay.
We'll be tiptoeing close to the political theater of things, but we're going to try to. I'm going to try to keep this exactly like I did in the conversation I had at school.
Okay.
As much about facts and basic information with little to no bias towards either kind of ideology type thing. Okay. Or any kind of ideology type.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. We will be back in just a minute.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back, everybody.
Hey.
So, I did my research. Let me read.
Okay.
From the great, powerful oracle of knowledge.
Google?
Wikipedia.
Uh-oh. Okay.
YouTube was founded by Steve Chen, Chad Hurley, of course there's a Chad involved, and Jawad Karim, who were all early employees of PayPal.
Oh.
Hurley had studied design at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and Chen and Karim studied computer science together at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, I'm guessing. It's spelled like Champaign. Karim said the inspiration, Karim, so that's the, that's not the Chad, interestingly enough.
Okay.
Karim said the inspiration for YouTube first came from Janet Jackson's role in the 2004 Super Bowl incident when her breast was exposed during her performance, and later from the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami. Karim could not easily find video clips of either event online, which led to the idea of a video sharing site.
Validate Janet Jackson's boob shot with the tsunami. Go right on ahead.
I mean,
come on. We all know why. At this point, that is fully validated.
It's like, hey, guys, I want to make this site so we could see Janet Jackson's boob whenever we want. They're all looking at him like, seriously, bro? Also, the tsunami.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When
have you ever seen this?
When we tell investors about this, lead with the tsunami.
And then mention the boob.
Yeah.
No, we should. Like, have you ever seen a YouTube series called Pitch Meeting?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to show you a pitch meeting or two before you leave.
Okay.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's wonderfully fast-paced, very, very funny.
Okay.
I'll show you Pitch Meeting.
Okay.
Okay, please continue.
Anyway, so yes.
Yep, Janet Jackson's boob was a major...
No, it was the tsunami, dude. It was totally a tsunami. I don't need to see boobs. Anyway.
Nope, that's what it is. There we go. Validated information. Yes. Literally said by one of the founders of YouTube.
Yep.
I needed to be able to look up Janet Jackson's boobie.
Yes. Hey, man. Again, boobs are inspiration for things. Again, your drummer is inspired.
Hey, boobs. Cool. Yeah, boobs.
I mean, just I would say don't even try to, if you get in the situation where you have the shirts and women are wanting to buy the shirts, don't explain the logo like you just did on the podcast here or to me. Just like, if they ask, are these boobs? Yeah.
Digital Havoc and the boobs logo.
Yes.
Is trademark.
I mean, I could just think of the tattoos. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear about first? Do you want to hear about the football weekend, or do you want to hear about my interesting discussion with the young people at school?
I think we should open with sports ball. Let's open with sports ball.
With sports ball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go sports. Move the thing to the other thing.
Basically.
Stop the other guys from moving the thing to the other thing.
Basically that too.
Yeah.
So we had, there was a wild card weekend.
Yeah.
For the NFL. Notable things that happened. Both sixth seeds, the sixth seed on each side, because there's six teams on the NFC, six teams on the AFC.
Yeah.
So this is the bottom rung playoff team. Both of those bottom rung playoff teams went to go play the third seeded team at their home stadiums. In this situation, it was for the AFC, the Titans played the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
Right.
And the Minnesota Vikings played the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
At the, what is it? Is it a BMW? The Superdome, basically. It has another name. Mercedes-Benz. It's Mercedes-Benz Superdome now.
Gotcha.
But it's a Superdome down in Louisiana.
Now, are they both? Okay, so if I remember this properly,
yes.
So the lower-tiered team plays the higher-tiered team on their home turf.
On the higher-tiered team's home turf. So that's why the Minnesota Vikings went into
New
Orleans.
And then at the Super Bowl, they both go to an away area.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why the Vikings were in New Orleans and the Titans were in New England, in Boston, basically, just outside of Boston.
Cool. Cool. Okay.
So in one of the few times that this has happened, both sixth-seeded teams won their games.
Oh, really?
Yes. One of them in overtime, the Vikings actually...
Wait a minute. What?
Yes. The Vikings beat the Saints, who, by the way, the Saints were the odds-on favorite actually to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's an upset. I know exactly who the other team is.
Yes, the Titans beat the Patriots.
You got to be kidding
me. At home. Not kidding
you. I don't watch football, and I know how strong the Patriots have been. Well, let's be real. There's been some controversy around that.
There's lots of controversy.
I know how strong the Patriots have been. Didn't they win the last two?
You got to keep in mind that over the last 20 years or so that Brady has been in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, ever since Brady started. So he started playing in, I want to say it was 2001 was the year he started playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2001, because they beat the Raiders in that and went to the Super Bowl at the beginning of 2002. Since 2001, Brady is the winningest quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They have only missed the playoffs one or two years, and those are years that one of the years they missed it was one that Brady did not play the whole season.
Okay.
He has the best winning percentage in the playoffs. He has the best passer rating, I think, in the playoffs.
Over like this 20-year span.
Over his career, basically.
Okay.
But every time they have not had the first round bye in the playoffs, they have lost in the playoffs. Every time they have not had the first round bye.
Did they have the first round bye this time?
No, they were playing this weekend. The other two teams had the first round bye.
Oh, okay. So the recovery time is what recovery time helped them quite a bit.
Actually, that'll come later in our discussion that the recovery time is crucial for another team.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say crucial, but will be supremely helpful for another team.
Right.
But what it came down to is this last year, the Patriots have had a really good defense,
mm-hmm.
but the offense has not necessarily been able to kind of keep itself moving. Now, that happens sometimes with the Patriots, and they still seem to work it out in the playoffs, but this year, not so much.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing, though, is the way that the game ended. The game ended from Tom Brady and the Patriots had their ball on the one-yard line, not getting ready to score, backed up into their own end zone. They had to go 99 yards to score. They had just gotten the ball punted to them, and it was stopped on the one-yard line. The punt wasn't caught. It was technically stopped by the defense on the one-yard line.
Right.
So they had 99 yards to go to score and like 30 seconds on the clock, which is an impossible task unless you're Tom Brady.
Right.
Or maybe Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, one of those type of quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, this is Tom Brady. You give him any time on the clock, he'll figure something out.
Right.
He throws a pass. It is knocked by the first defender, bobbled up into the air. Another defender grabs it for an interception, runs it in for a touchdown. Pick six. This is his last pass of the season. Moreover, Tom Brady...
His last pass of the season is an interception.
Is an interception for a touchdown.
Ouch.
What they call a pick six.
Yeah.
Because you pick it and then you score six.
Yeah, exactly.
The more interesting part of this is Tom Brady's contract, for the first time in his entire career, is up at the end of this season. He wrote it into his contract that this would be the end of his contract. For the first time ever, he's a free agent.
I know what that means.
They can't franchise tag him. They can't do anything to hold on to him. He is a free agent, able to do whatever he wants to do. Now, he can re-sign with the Patriots if he wants. He can also go to any team he wants to. He can also retire, although he's indicated that that's not the direction he
probably
seems
doesn't
to be going.
Want to end his entire career on an interception.
I'm sure he doesn't. But you know, it was a very interesting day to have that happen.
Somebody's going to sign Brady. Somebody's going to sign him.
One would think that somebody would, but yeah, it was an interesting.
And he's still got a lot of negotiating power.
Oh, he's still Tom Brady.
Yeah, exactly it.
Throwing one interception and having a slightly off season does not discount the fact that it's still Tom Brady.
Exactly.
I mean, Drew Brees holds more records at this point than what Tom Brady holds.
Right.
But Tom Brady's got more jewelry by a wide margin.
Right, 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 right.
And records are great and all. That's fantastic. But, I mean,
would you consider him pretty much a Hall of Famer at this point?
Oh, Tom Brady?
Brady? Yeah.
First ballot, instantaneously. If he's not first ballot Hall of Fame, here's the thing. I'm the huge 49er fan that I am. So in my mind, for many years, the best quarterback ever, period, was Joe Montana.
Right.
The guy, there's only been, when Joe Montana did it, there was only two quarterbacks in the entire NFL that had won more than two Super Bowls.
Right.
Okay. Terry Bradshaw for the Pittsburgh Steelers and Joe Montana.
Right.
Okay. Now, since then, there has been a couple quarterbacks to win three. Troy Aikman, for example, has three Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys as the quarterback. And really, the quarterback is the leader of the team, so they get a lot more credit than many of the other players do for leading the team to a Super Bowl. And that's especially true when you talk about Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw had a defense that was second to none it was one of the best defenses ever. I mean, the Steel Curtain for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Even you know that defense. You've heard that name, the Steel Curtain.
Yep.
That defense is what propelled him to all four of his Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Period. It was not his offensive capability. That was a league where if a receiver was lucky to catch four passes in a game during that time frame, it was more of a running league than it was a passing league at that time. So while Bradshaw was able to sling it a bit, if you look at his career numbers, they're nothing in comparison to any of the other multiple Super Bowl winning quarterbacks because it was a different league back then. That was more defensive than anything else, those four Super Bowls. The 49ers Super Bowls, one of those specifically, Joe Montana took it on his back and had one of the best Super Bowl drives ever.
Yeah.
You look at just in the Super Bowl the year after that one, it was a dominant affair of, like, I think it was 54-3 or something like that, or 54-10 that they beat the Broncos by. It was just a god-awful destruction of them. It was an offensive showcase for the 49ers that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, Joe Montana had been for always the best quarterback ever. Four Super Bowl rings. The guy seemed unstoppable. He could win any game you put him in. It just seemed that way always. The thing is, Tom Brady already had the jewelry. And he's got six Super Bowl victories. Yes, he's got three losses as well. But he's got the victories. But right. That's nine Super Bowls that this guy has been to. Nine. No other player in history has been to nine. There's only one other player in history that has five Super Bowl rings. Only one. Defensive lineman Charles Haley. He got two with the 49ers and three with the Dallas Cowboys. He's got five Super Bowl rings. He's the only other person to have five. Brady has six.
Okay.
Moreover, Brady had probably the best quarterback appearance in a Super Bowl. I don't know if you watched the one against the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-mm. The first Super Bowl, I believe, to go into overtime was the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
What year was that?
This was a couple of years ago. Two or three years ago.
Yeah.
This is the one where they were down in the third quarter by like 27-3.
I remember hearing about this one. There were a lot of people that were upset about it, actually.
And Brady just went on a tear and ended up winning the Super Bowl. And, I mean, I watched the game. It was an amazingly stunning thing to watch him do.
Wow. Wasn't this hot on the tails of Deflategate and stuff too?
This is right around the time of that, yes.
Okay, yeah. I remember people being super pissed.
But this was it was a stunning game. Stunning.
Cool.
If you look at his numbers, if you look at his statistics, if you look at the rings, he is, by and large, the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Wow.
Especially when you consider nine times he went to the Super Bowl.
This is why you're saying, like, oh, it's straight up going
to
be.
There are other quarterbacks who have gotten first ballot Hall of Fame. There are other players who have gotten first ballot. When I say first ballot, it's the first time they're up to be inducted. You have to be out of the league for a certain number of years before you're inducted. There are other players that have gotten first ballot that are not even close to the caliber of what he is. He would get first ballot, no questions asked.
Okay.
And he should. He should. He should be enshrined in Canton because he is in many ways so much more than anybody else to play the position.
Okay.
I don't personally necessarily. I'm not a fan of Brady by any stretch of the means. But damn, you got to respect the stuff he's been able to accomplish. To see him, I hope that's not the way he goes out. But at the same time, I mean, hey, that's a way to go out. If this is the last of it. But so the Titans beat the Patriots. The Texans beat the Bills, which, I mean, okay. I really don't have much to say about that. The Texans get to go on to face the Kansas City Chiefs, who they did beat one time in the regular season. So we'll see what happens there. And the Titans have the unenviable task of going to Baltimore to beat to try to play the Baltimore Ravens, who are the hottest and possibly the best team in the NFL. Period at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody can seem to stop their quarterback and the things that he is doing. Just amazing play from him at this point. Then you get to the NFC. Like I said, the Vikings were able to go into New Orleans and knock off the Saints, which was both exhilarating for me as a 49er fan and terrifying. it was exhilarating because it meant that the Saints, who I felt were one probably the biggest competition for the 49ers in the playoffs, are gone.
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of nice, but also it's like if we had lost to the Saints in the NFC Championship game, which is the way it would have gone, we wouldn't get the Saints in the next round no matter what happened because they were the three seed. If the Saints had won, they would have automatically gone to Green Bay. I had it figured that we were probably going to see a Saints-Niners NFC Championship game in San Francisco.
Right.
And if the Saints had beat us in the NFC Championship game, I could deal with that.
Yeah.
Especially if they went on to the Super Bowl and were able to beat the Ravens, who I expected to be the Super Bowl candidate for the AFC.
Right.
With them gone now, that leaves, again, the Vikings to us. I do think that the Niners match up well against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I was going to say the extra week off kind of helps. The 49ers have been without one of their premier pass rushers that they kind of paid a lot of money for over the offseason, Dee Ford. He's kind of been injury prone for most of his career, but he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue and has been for half the season. They've been resting him on the hopes that he would be available for the playoffs. He will be in limited action this coming weekend, but he will be able to play.
Okay.
And that he's a very, very powerful, very fast pass rusher that kind of changes the scope of the game when he's in.
Okay.
Because he's somebody you have to double team. There's no way to get to take care of him with a single offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that, you're going to free somebody else up on the defensive line to get some rush in. And I think with a drop back quarterback like Kirk Cousins is, he's a stay in the pocket kind of guy. He gets easily rattled when he starts getting pressure.
Okay.
So that could be helpful. We're also...
I am completely lost in everything that you just said over the last 5 minutes.
Some people will get it. the Niners are also getting back a linebacker that they lost back around Halloween. He had a torn pectoral muscle.
Oh, damn. That sounds like it sucks.
Yes. Actually, remember the Texans had the same problem?
Uh-huh.
And J.J. Watt, I'm sure you are familiar with that name, right?
I've heard the name, yes.
Okay, yeah. He's actually, more than anything, J.J. Watt is known for his humanitarian work.
Oh, cool.
There in Houston. Okay. When the big hurricane came into Houston and, like, destroyed most of Houston.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people on the front lines distributing stuff and getting money brought in. He had the NFL bring in a ton of money to Houston to do some of the rebuilding stuff.
Dang.
And they just completed a lot of their rebuilding this last year.
Wow.
So, and he's on the front line of it all the time.
Cool.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He actually helped Quan Alexander, the linebacker from the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
He helped him kind of get through his recovery, and it looks like Quan Alexander, with this week off, might be available to play this weekend.
Cool.
It's a good thing because the defense hasn't quite played with the same ferocity since Quan Alexander got injured. He's a very fast linebacker, what's referred to as a sideline to sideline linebacker, meaning that he's got enough speed from his position in the middle of the field to hit either sideline within the scope of 3 to 4 seconds of a play. So if a running back is trying to run towards the sideline and get kind of get around the edge, he can get there to stuff that and stop it. If they try to run a screen play, he can get in there and stuff it and stop it. He's got the speed to do that.
Oh, okay.
Very, very fast linebacker.
Cool, man.
So it would be nice to get him back. And then the Niners also get their safety back, Jaquaski Tartt. Yes, the dude's name is Jaquaski.
Jaquaski Tartt?
Tartt, yes.
Okay.
He's been injured the last couple of games. He makes a difference on the defense. So having that week of rest, you can get some injured people back, and I think that may make make a little bit of a difference with the 49ers defense, maybe help them out even further.
Yeah.
And then the final game of the weekend were the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
visiting the Philadelphia Eagles.
How'd that go?
Well, sadly, the Eagles quarterback, Carson Wentz, who's supposed to be kind of their quarterback of the future, he got injured a couple of years ago when the Eagles made a kind of wild run into the playoffs and then into the Super Bowl and then beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, one of the three losses that Tom Brady has suffered. Wild run into the Super Bowl for that.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up having to do it on the back of their backup quarterback, Nick Foles, because Carson Wentz got injured right near the end of the season. Like,
oh, that sucks.
12th or 13th game.
Okay.
Well, this is his first actual starting playoff game yesterday. And 6 minutes into the game, he's kind of fallen to the ground as a process in the process of a run,
mm-hmm.
and a defender from the Seattle Seahawks kind of dives down on him. Should have got a penalty for it, but did not.
Oh no!
Helmet to helmet contact, and then Wentz's helmet also hit the turf, and he ended up out of the game with a concussion. And they
you don't think he was a target, do you?
No, but it still should have been a flagged play at least.
Dang.
They ended up having to go to a 40-year-old backup quarterback who had actually spent last year out of football. He was a high school football coach. He had retired from being a backup quarterback. He's never been a starter anywhere for any length of time. He started for a few games here and there, but he's always been a backup. They brought him in this year to be the backup to Carson Wentz, thinking Carson Wentz is finally going to be healthy. This 40-year-old does his damnedest to try to beat the Seahawks, and he's letting it loose. He's playing as hard as he possibly can, but you can tell the guy's feeling his age.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Josh McCown is the guy's name, and I got to give all the credit to him. Man, I'm just shy of 40 myself, and damn, I couldn't imagine being out there running and doing all that crap.
Yeah.
Being fat helps to make me not imagine that. But still, even if I wasn't fat, damn the amount of work he put in. He got brutalized. He got the crap beat out of him.
Oh, that sucks.
7 sacks in the game. I mean, it was
Ouch. Crazy.
But the thing is, they almost tied up the game to take it to overtime.
But, so he was working.
But they didn't.
Oh, that
and
sucks.
The Seahawks win. Seahawks go on to face the Green Bay Packers up in Lambeau Field.
Ooh.
My only hope is that it's cold enough in Lambeau to freeze out the Seahawks and get them gone, but I have a feeling, in fact, I will make a prediction.
Well, I mean, they are, like, from Seattle.
But Seattle
is quite a bit farther north than San Fran, bro.
It is, but it's, I mean...
But San Fran's on the coast.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, kind of. It's in Santa Clara now. That's where the stadium is.
Oh, yeah, that's where the stadium's at. That's moved a little bit.
But I have a prediction right now for you. And it's going to be on here. It's going to be on the podcast. So if it happens, my prediction's good. I think the NFC Championship game is going to come down to the Seahawks coming into Levi Stadium to play against the 49ers. I'm not predicting a win or a loss because I ain't going to go there. It's enough that I'm predicting that the Niners are able to beat the Vikings. I don't feel totally comfortable with that. But I'm just saying, I think that's how it might end up.
Oh, man.
Is it might be third time we get to face them for the year, and it might be a epic matchup. I mean, both other games this year were epic matchups with them. I think it might do the same thing.
Another thing? Cool, man.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a chief rivalry that's been going on between those two teams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it ties into school. There's an administrator at my new school I'm going to who's a major Seahawks fan. I'm hoping that the Niners are able to go farther in the playoffs than the Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
just so I don't have to deal with him and his smugness. And he's an administrator, too, so I'm only allowed to get so mouthy with him. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
But back to now we can transition to the schooling. That's all my football news. I'll have more next week because we're in playoff season.
All right.
But transitioning to the school thing.
Yeah.
So, again, I told you we were gonna toe the line a little bit on politics. This is what happened, okay?
Okay.
I'm sitting at one of the tables there at school.
Okay.
We've two or three other people that are there, they're young people that are there. We've just been talking about various things as we do. Talk about family, talk about this, talk about that, whatever. Young lady who's sitting across from me says, "Hey, I'm just wondering, can anybody tell me what the heck this is? I'm seeing this on all my social media stuff. I'm on Twitter. I'm seeing it on Facebook. I'm seeing it everywhere.
Uh-huh.
People are saying stuff about World War III. World War III?
Oh, boy. Okay.
And so I'm like, okay. And I had to weigh myself here. I had to weigh not myself in the fat, but like my reaction here.
Okay.
Do I say something? Because I have knowledge. I pay attention to the news. I research these things. I know you pay attention to the news and research things.
I do.
So I had to decide, do I say something and have this conversation? And then if I do, I mean, I know these guys as students and they're young, and I can kind of have somewhat of an understanding of some of their viewpoints on life. But I don't talk politics with people regularly because it's always fiery and incendiary. I typically try not to talk religion with people because it gets fiery.
Yeah.
So I was toeing a line. I thought, you know what? There's a way I can talk about this in a factual manner without having to get overly political.
Okay.
And so what I did was I proceeded to tell them, okay, yeah, a couple days ago, there was a Iranian general who was targeted with a drone strike and killed by the U.S. government.
Okay.
All factual pieces.
All factual pieces.
As a result, there are people who are concerned now that this might spark a large-scale war on the World War-type scale.
Right.
With Iran and or other countries that are allies to Iran.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing is people doing this. More importantly, most people are posting it because there's a large number of the young population
yeah.
who are worried about the institution of a draft in this type of a situation.
Which, yeah, I understand that. But at the same time,
the
draft hasn't been instated. They stopped the draft in 73.
Vietnam was the last time that they instated a draft. I'm of the feeling that very much like what happened in the Gulf War and in the post 9/11 wars in mm-hmm. Afghanistan and Iraq, I very much believe that the number of people that will that would enlist at this point in time in the current political and socioeconomical climate of this country, I think the number of people that would enlist into the various military things, the different branches and whatnot would far.
You're talking volunteers.
Yeah, voluntarily yeah, enlisting. Totally. I think that would probably take care of the numbers that a recruitment would need. More importantly, I just think that in this day and age, a draft would be very difficult, especially with the social media age. A draft would be very difficult to deal with.
I'm going to have to I don't know if you researched it and double checked it, because I remembered I had a conversation with somebody about this. One of the main issues that was about Vietnam specifically.
Yeah,
was because there was volunteers that came in, and that's part of the big
there
rift
wasn't...
in military support and anti-military sentiment that happened yeah. in the 70s during Vietnam was partly because of, if I remember correctly, volunteering to go in over this. Over this conflict, and it's technically Vietnam is called a conflict.
Yeah, it's
we
not
can
a war.
Go off
that's
about
another
the
discussion.
Semantics. And yeah, that's another discussion.
I think part of that had to do with the political climate at the time and the feelings of the time at the situation.
Right.
I don't remember seeing nearly that kind of blowback when we were dealing with the original Iraq quote unquote war in the early 90s. Late '80s, early '90s.
Right, that was all. That wasn't drafted at all. That was volunteered.
That was all.
There was also a
unified
sentiment when it came down to that area.
That was all enlisted people getting enlisting in the military and going. And the same situation with the post 9/11 conflicts in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
There was definitely
all enlisted.
A big. Well,
now,
that definitely. I actually. There was that's all, one thing that
was
I,
all,
I hope
it was
still
enlisted
continues.
Or also it was. Army Reserve and National Guard brought up.
Oh yes,
during that time
yeah.
frame,
I know a lot of close personal friends. We both do that have close. We both have yeah. close personal friends that were reserve members.
Yes,
that were used extensively. Like there's a lot
and
of.
There's, well,
that's one thing you got to remember is there's a lot of branches that they go through before they start drafting.
And all of those are different. All of those are very much different than the draft. And that's what I tried to explain to the people I was speaking to, specifically the young lady who asked the questions,
mm-hmm.
I tried to kind of explain the differences between that and the fact that our enlistment and recruitment numbers are at fairly good points, but if a conflict happened in that area of the world, I'm of the firm belief that just like the last few times there was a conflict in that area of the world,
yeah.
we will see enough enlistment numbers from people that I don't see a necessity. Also, you have to remember, Vietnam was one of the last times that a war was fought where there was an ability to limit media access to the war zone,
yeah.
which does not exist in the same way nowadays, with everybody being able to be their own media person. It's also the last war that was fought with old technology.
True.
You have to remember, this
was a drone strike. This wasn't.
This was a drone strike.
This
that took
wasn't
out
a,
this general.
Yeah, a human guided plane that dropped a bomber.
Moreover, this was
a lot more of that technology readily available.
Moreover, this wasn't a strike team like what was sent into Grenada back in the early 80s under the Reagan administration.
Right.
To deal with similar type of things there.
Right.
This was just a drone strike. There's a large number of technological advances now that actually protect and reduce the number of troops. Physical actual troops that the United States specifically would need to send in. And I do want to mention the fact that our military might, as far as in the Navy, the number of ships that we have at our command, mm-hmm. from aircraft carriers all the way down to submarines.
Yeah.
The number of planes that we have in our Navy and Air Force, the number of drones that we have, then even down to the number of nuclear warheads that we have in comparison to any other country on this planet.
Yeah.
There is nobody that's even close to us. Now, it is rumored that the Chinese military might have more soldiers, but they have a pretty large population. That doesn't surprise me that they would have more physical soldiers than us. But as far as the technological weapons of war, there's not a country on this planet that can come close to the firepower that this country has.
Right.
I'm not saying that to try to propagandize the U.S. I'm just trying to say it so you understand what our country has in that type of situation.
We're pretty well off.
There are so many alternatives to sending in waves and waves and waves of soldiers. There are so many other more technological ways that warfare can be fought now by the United States that doesn't necessarily require that massive amount of people, which back in the Vietnam War, about the only way that they were going to fight that war was to get as many people into that jungle as they possibly could.
Right, exactly.
And that's a discussion for another day as to what happened in Vietnam and, you know, another day in another podcast, not this one.
But, yeah, totally.
But yeah, that kind of led into discussion. And then, again, I felt I dealt with it in a very apolitical fashion, just giving. Do you feel that from what I've described to you?
I think so. If I could share a bit of an opinion, I very much agree with what you're talking about. The thing is that there are a lot of people, and I can understand the viewpoint that it's coming from,
yeah.
because you're looking at a lot of Gen Zers that are wondering about what's going on with this. Most of these, and much younger millennials.
Yeah.
These are people that don't know what it's like to not, like, they were born into a conflict era.
Yeah,
the post 9/11 era, technically.
The post 9/11 era. Yeah.
This is the first example they've had of us
doing something,
potentially
like that.
Instigating something, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that.
Yeah.
But I will say that I understand the speculation that comes with the first time seeing something like this and going, oh my God, is this the start of a war? Is this what this means? Is this how this happens? This is the first time they're looking at that.
Well, and it felt nice to be able to give a exactly like I just described in here, as unbiased a kind of information download to this young lady as humanly possible. I don't want to bias her in any direction because it's not my intention. My intention was to try to answer her question and say, this is why you're maybe seeing this. This is why this sentiment is being felt, is this specific action happened, and this may be why these people are having this reaction. Beyond that, I didn't want to add anything. We don't want to add anything here on the podcast.
Right.
But again, it's just good to the biggest thing was she had no idea.
Why is everybody freaking out?
That this had happened, to understand that there was a reason, you know, some kind of a reason behind it, some incident that happened that would spark this feeling. And it was good to be able to share the information, but also made me a little fearful that that type of information wasn't getting out there or wasn't being accessed by people, which is a little scary to me that there are people out there that aren't paying attention to the news all the time. I guess that's the reality of it, but it's a little bit scary to me. But then...
Mm-hmm.
This morning, in fact, as I'm getting ready to come out here to see you,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting watching some music videos on YouTube and letting my breakfast settle, that kind of thing, waiting for the wife to wake up, let her sleep in as much as I can on the morning.
Right.
I came across a very, very interesting, this is the one I haven't told you about yet.
Okay.
I kind of mentioned it to you in a weird message. I said, also, check out Weight Watchers and Twitter, bro.
Yeah.
And you had no idea what I was talking about. And I admit, thinking from that, it kind of, that's confusing. What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Exactly. Because we were confused.
Because we were previously talking about, you had sent me a meme about the whole the whole World War thing.
Yeah.
And the World War worries. Very funny one, by the way. Cat Williams, love him. A little weird, little racist, and dude needs to stop doing drugs, but I love him. but anyway, this thing come up, and that's why I sent it to you. Apparently, over the last year or two, Weight Watchers has been working on a rebranding. Weight Watchers, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm not sure why you don't know. I'm sure that you have an Aunt Karen somewhere who has tried Weight Watchers at some point or another. It's obviously a weight loss program. Oprah is one of the big sponsors of Weight Watchers.
Yes, I love bread comes from the Weight Watchers commercials.
Yeah?
Yeah. When she's like, I love bread. She's going crazy about talking about bread.
I can so see that. And I've never seen the commercial, I don't think, but I can so see her saying that.
I love bread joke with Oprah now is from the Weight Watchers commercial back in the day. Yeah.
This is not a joke that I'm familiar with.
Anything I want. Yeah, it's anything. Just she can eat anything she wants. It's just how much of it she can eat is the difference, of course, and you should just do. I mean, honestly, like just everything in moderation, right?
Just so you know, the biggest thing about Weight Watchers is reading labels of the things that you eat and reading what the appropriate portion size is. And guess what, people? When you pour a bowl of cereal, you are pouring at least 2 to 3 portions every time you're pouring a bowl of cereal.
You know, I have measured them before, and I have had I've done a measured portion, and
it's
a measured portion works just fine.
You don't think it is when you look at it.
You just don't measure it when you do it.
When you look at it, you think, that's not enough for me.
Right.
But then when you're done eating, you're like, I'm actually okay. I mean, I could eat more, but I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
Have I been living a lie?
Yes, yes, you have.
But anyway, so Weight Watchers has been through trying to do a rebranding over the last few years.
Yeah.
They've changed the ways that they do things. They've changed their various price structures. They offer you a couple of different options in the price structures now. Mm-hmm. One of their biggest changes is they were trying to get away from the possible negative connotations of their name, Weight Watchers.
Right.
Makes sense, right?
Right.
There's some negative connotation possibly there.
Totally.
You know, the idea that you're just obsessing about watching your weight, although when you go to a meeting, you have to weigh in at the beginning of every meeting, so you are obsessively watching your weight. It's the funniest thing. When I used to go to Weight Watchers with my wife, watching the women prepared to go weigh in for the meeting, and they would take off as much clothing as they possibly could before they weighed in, just so that they could try to reduce their weight as much as possible. And it's like, seriously, shoes. I'm talking making sure the shoes were off, purse is off, scarf is off. They had a hat on, and they'd be taking that crap off.
I'll be real. I'm guilty of this when I go to a doctor's office. I'll remove my shoes and my wallet. I don't know why. Very minuscule.
Vanity, that's why.
Very minuscule.
Vanity.
Shut up.
No. I watch the wife's grandmother make sure every time she goes to the doctor and gets weighed, she's got to take off her sweatshirt because, you know, she can't have that sweatshirt on when she's getting weighed. And every time she does it, she hands me that sweatshirt I have to help her get on the scale because she uses a walker, so she's a little toddly when it comes to stepping up onto things. And every time she hands me the sweatshirt, I help her get up on there, and I just kind of loudly whisper at her, vanity. Because that's my feeling on it. I'm sorry. I mean, I get not your purse if you're carrying a purse.
Right.
You
don't, well, I mean, you don't hell, your purse could be 20 pounds.
Yeah, I get that. That totally makes sense. But shoes, seriously? Anyway,
boots, man.
Anyway, that makes it even more egregious in my mind. Because like I have to sit on a couch where I have enough room to rest my leg to actually put my shoes on and tie my shoes.
Right.
If I'm wearing a pair of jeans, which I have to do for school now, which sucks. I hate wearing pants. Love to wear shorts. Anyway, if I'm wearing a pair of pants, like a pair of jeans, I have to put my shoes on before I put the jeans on. I cannot bend my leg up far enough to tie my shoes. I'm too fat, dude. My belly gets in the way.
Wow.
I cannot bend my leg up enough to be able to put and bend my leg enough in jeans. Also, jeans are restricted.
How much does it suck to shove your shoes through jean holes?
I have wide leg jeans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because then they don't. Then they're not super close.
Rocking
to
that JNCO life,
and not quite JNCO, but they're modern jeans, but they're more the relaxed fit style, so they're kind of wider leg. But part of that reason is if they're too tight on my legs, then I feel too constricted and I can't deal.
Oh, I get it.
The wider they are on my legs, the less I feel like I'm wearing pants and messing with my head because I freaking hate pants. I really do. If I could live my life wearing shorts forever,
he's wearing shorts in January now. That's how much he likes shorts.
I do every year. I can't stand wearing pants. I'm only doing it for school and then work for as long as I have to work in a location. Once I can work from home, shorts it is. Anyway.
Please continue.
So Weight Watchers has been rebranding, try to get rid of the whole negative connotation possible watching weight. So their current rebranding.
What are they calling themselves?
With their current rebranding on Twitter and all other social media things, mm-hmm. they've tried to also make it easy to hashtag. So they've brought it down to two letters, WW.
Wonder Woman?
No, just WW, Weight Watchers, WW.
Right.
Well, this weekend, hashtags with WW, especially things like not my WW or this is my WW, took off with the whole idea of we might have an impending world war.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. And why so, did I not put that together?
I'm waiting for you to, and you're not. And so I had to say it just straight out. Yes. So this weekend, Weight Watchers have been trending all over the place in connections to this.
To this third world war thing?
This concerned about World War III.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, all over. And Weight Watchers is, Weight Watchers is like, oh, maybe, I mean, if this hadn't happened and we didn't see this social media kind of outpouring about the fear of a new world war, it would have been a brilliant marketing strategy for Weight Watchers. Because, yeah, it's two letters. It's really easy. You can hashtag that
and
simple.
And then this happens.
And then this happens. It's like, oh, perfect storm. Weight Watchers,
wow, dude.
Weight Watchers, I guess you chose a bad time to rebrand.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah,
oh, that sucks.
It's kind of funny.
It sucks for them, but yeah, that's really funny.
It's funny as hell that would get that kind of attention in that way. But hey, I mean, maybe you have some people who are afraid of war, and they end up by doing the various hashtags or the various searches, finding out about Weight Watchers and thinking, I could stand to lose.
My goodness.
So I mean, I don't know, but yeah, funny little note how this interconnectivity of social media gives people the voice to talk about their fears of the war in ways that, I mean, again, we reference Vietnam. You had to find a reporter that would listen to you or, you know, be able to be at the right place at the right time. So you got recorded saying stuff, or you had to be somebody famous to say anything during the Vietnam War era.
Holy
about,
smokes.
About what's going on. Now we have the capability with social media to talk about our fears, our concerns, our worries in a much more open way.
Yeah.
and affect the direction of a weight loss company because they chose a very unlucky set of letters to use. But it's funny how that all interconnects together in our modern world.
It's so terrible.
I guess. I don't know. I funny part is I didn't get a chance to tell my wife about it this morning, so when I let her know, she's going to be amused. But anyway, that's what we have for today. I touched on a few few new issues for 2020. Good outlook on 2020.
Yeah. Well, I mean, depending on where you're coming from.
Good outlook. We'll see what happens. Hey, I mean, war is always good for the economy, I guess.
Yeah, they say that, but I remember the economy crashed the last one.
Well, yeah. Although technically we haven't had a war since World War II, but that's a history lesson for you kids someday. We'll talk about that at another time on another podcast. Anyway, Mike. Where can people listen to us? I mean, they already are if they're hearing you say this.
Yeah.
But where can they tell their friends and their family members and their side chicks to listen to us?
Side chicks. Tell your side chick to listen to us on Spotify, on TuneIn, Google Podcast. I believe we have a URL that you can set up. We're going to have to set up a URL so that people can just copy-paste it to put in their Apple Podcast. But there, you can also check out our main website, thezenialchronicles.com, if you don't want to type that much. Zenkron.com. Speaking of Zenkron, you can search Zenkron or at Zenkron on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yes.
And you can find us there as well. Go ahead and follow us. That'd be great. Also, the website and the podcast only let you hear like the most recent 10, I believe, of the podcasts we have.
By the way, you know that number changes almost every time that you do this. At least I think it does.
I think it's 10.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you say 10 every time, and maybe I'm thinking of a different number every time.
I want to say it's 10.
Check. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. Anyways, I want to say it's 10. But if you want to hear any of the older podcasts, our entire archive is available on our YouTube page.
YouTube.
Yeah. So search the Zenial Chronicles on YouTube. You'll find us. A picture of our ugly mugs is what's going to be the main profile picture. And subscribe to the channel. If you're hearing us on YouTube, click like on the video. Click the bell icon when you subscribe to get notified when we put a new one up.
Click the bell.
Yeah. And that will be all.
That's the place to find us. And when you're on YouTube watching, listening to our stuff, just for, you know, nostalgia's sake, I would suggest going and checking out Janet Jackson's boob. I mean, that's what they wanted.
I'm not sure it's
still
there.
That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted, though. That's what their purpose was.
I mean, you probably can find it.
I'm just saying.
Just look up Janet Jackson Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure it's there.
I mean, let's hope that that's what comes up with Janet Jackson Super Bowl.
It could be, I mean, hell, she had like an interview on Oprah after all that went down, like years later. And all that, man. There was a lot of backlash. The FCC went nuts.
I know. I remember. I lived through it. Some of these kids haven't.
This is like half the reason why YouTube was so successful, because, you know, the FCC went nuts with television.
Yeah.
And censorship and fining and all this kind of stuff, man.
They had their finger on the pulse, that's for sure. I want to see boobs. Yeah, everybody else wants to see boobs.
They were squeezing the pulse and stopping it from flowing, man.
Also tsunamis, I guess. I'm talking about the creators.
Tsunamis, sure.
I'm talking about the creators of YouTube. They had their fingers on the pulse. They knew that.
Oh, they did.
To see boobs.
I thought you meant the FCC. No. The FCC was stopping the pulse from flowing, man.
No, the YouTube creators. They had their finger on the pulse. They knew.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
People want to
see
boobs. Sometimes tsunamis, but mainly boobs. And then, funny enough. They, you know, we mentioned earlier the whole Pornhub and that type of thing.
Right.
Funny enough, what else did people want to see on YouTube?
Of course. What?
Kitties.
Yeah. No.
People watch cats on YouTube all the time.
Cat videos are actually kind of cool.
I mean, that. And
they're fun. And I'm like deathly allergic to cats. That's the only way I get like.
I mean, that coincides
funny
with.
That cat fix.
Yeah. I get that. I guess. But that coincides with the other thing that people like to look at on Pornhub.
So, that's enough, James. Good night, everybody.
Yes. Talk to you all next week.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.